Hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Chai Chats. It has been a long couple of months since I've last recorded an episode, and I think part of that is because of the sheer amount of stuff I've been doing, which ranges from like college apps, which I'm going to be talking about today, to having like a really rough first semester of senior year in terms of my classes. But I've been doing a lot better. I think second semester of senior year, now that I've submitted my college apps, has been going a lot smoother. So I've had a little bit more time to thinking about what episodes I want to put out for you guys. And I've picked up my phone a lot of times to record an episode. And honestly, like I just haven't ended up finishing it, or it just didn't feel right at the time. But today I have a really fun episode for you guys that I've been actually working on since I started my college application process. I've been collecting advice for you guys. I've been thinking about what I might share for incoming sophomores, juniors, and seniors in terms of how you can start getting ready for college apps. And before I forget, my drink for today is just some regular old coffee. And I actually had a really interesting conversation with a friend yesterday, which led us to the conclusion that we both drink very diluted coffee. So when I'm making coffee, I just use like a regular old like instant coffee, and I think I put about a teaspoon of that, and then I put my sugar and my milk and my creamer and stuff. And I was talking to someone else and they put like a full tablespoon of instant coffee, and I realized I think that's normal. And so what I've been doing is like, it's like coffee flavored milk, essentially. And so me and my friend, we always wondered why coffee doesn't really work on us. And I think it's because we drink like very diluted coffee. So for the past couple of days, especially like leading up to my bio midterm, I've been making like stronger coffee and being like, wow, this actually works on me. Another thing is that I'm recording outside today, so you probably already hear the wind in the background, but you might actually hear my chickens a little bit too. I'm also a little bit on edge right now because one of my chickens, Big Mama, keeps coming up to me, and I know for a fact like she's gonna peck at my calves. So I am a little on edge because of that. I might like turn my head to double check. But anyway, so today's episode is going to be all about the college application process. So all the way from the beginning, like when I started prepping for it, all throughout the end. So at this point, just to give you some context, I've committed to a college. I received back all my college decisions, actually most of them, because there are a couple of wait lists. But for the time being, I've committed to a college. I'm getting ready to prepare for college. It's actually a very fun time because now that I'm kind of gearing up for graduation, I'm focusing on buying stuff for my dorm room, thinking about orientation. So it's a really fun part of senior year right now. And if you guys have been around for a while, you'll know that I actually did a college apps episode quite a bit of time ago. I want to say it was maybe like 2.5 years ago. And I did it with my older sister when she was actually going into college. And that's very fun. It's like a little full circle moment. And now it's my turn to do it. So I would say that I started getting to familiarize myself with this entire process probably around the end of sophomore year or junior year. I think that's when I started looking at what PIQs were, or like how many essays, or you know, like how to work with letters of recommendation. I would suggest that you definitely start taking college apps more seriously your junior year. I think I personally did it a little earlier than I would have liked to. I think I started brainstorming like the very beginning of junior year, and honestly, I don't think that was very helpful to me. I think more of the work I did throughout the spring semester of my junior year and throughout the summer before senior year was a lot more helpful. But I think junior year can be a time for you to honestly just get out all your possible ideas. I did have a class that's a little similar to homeroom, and in that class we kind of had assignments that were related to college apps, specifically the essays, and we would critique essays from other people. We would talk about the pros and cons of them, and we did a little bit of work working on our personal statement. And I have friends who ended up using parts or like the entire thing for their actual college application. I personally didn't, but I think working on essay outlines, getting yourself familiar with what kind of writing style you're comfortable with, what kind of things you can put out there is really helpful. I also used my junior year to attend workshops from the college essay guy. He is essentially a college admissions advisor, and I found that his resources were very helpful. It went from everywhere to making your list to talk about your extracurriculars, to your PIQs, which is for the UCs, all the way to like brainstorming for your personal statement. So for his resources, I used one that was called Essence Objects. And what that meant was choosing a couple of objects that you felt displayed your personality really well, or you had a personal connection to. And I can't remember off the top of my head what exactly I did for that activity, but I want to say one of them might have been roller skates, another was a crochet hook or a henna cone. It was things like that. So things that you feel can reveal something about your personality. I would highly suggest you start with that one. I felt like that one was a really good starting point because honestly, I just like looked around my room, thought about some things that could work, like really help display my personality. And I ended up writing a personal statement kind of based off of this activity. I didn't end up using it, but I think it was pretty solid. And another one of his activities that was really helpful to me was this one that was called 21 Details About Me. And that was basically things that you would want colleges to know about you. And this one, I think, was probably one of my favorite activities I did because I used this website called The Most Dangerous Writing App. I don't know if I've talked about it on here before, but one of my favorite websites. And essentially what it does is that you go to this website. It's an app. It says app like in the name, but it's actually a website. You go into this website and you start typing. Once you stop typing, your work starts to blur and disappear. So the objective is to essentially keep writing for however long your timer is, whether that's like 2 minutes or 5 minutes or 10 minutes, get to a certain word count. And I felt that for me, it was really good to keep me on track and to stop thinking about what I was saying, try to get like everything out of my mind that I want to say about this thing. So the one that was about 21 details about me, that did help form some of my PIQs, my personal insight questions for the UCs. And I would highly suggest that if possible, maybe start with that one actually, because you really have to dig deep and think about it. I think the first like maybe 5 to 7 details I put about myself, I was just writing things about myself, were kind of basic. As I went down that list, I kind of like started unlocking more memories and thinking about things that were important to me, and that ended up being the basis of some of my essays. Junior is also a time for you to start brainstorming your college list, so I would definitely suggest trying to have a really good idea of where you want to apply probably by the end of your junior year, even like the summer before your senior year. Just have like an idea of like where am I interested in applying, and would probably want to attend if I'm admitted. I'll talk a little bit more about the college list specifically in just a minute. I think also when it comes to writing, especially in your junior, you should definitely do lots and lots of brainstorming and don't get stuck on your first idea. I think so I'll share this. I'm not proud of it, but my junior year, I essentially wrote an essay with a metaphor about roller skates, and I talked about how like roller skates show that like I kept moving on even though like I faced failure in the form of like falling while I was roller skating, or like my roller skates being too loose. And I was so proud of this metaphor at the end of my junior year. And I read it throughout my senior year and I was like, this is absolute garbage. Like, I don't want to submit this. I don't like this anymore. But in the moment, I thought it was good. So I think it's important, while your first idea might be solid, definitely give it some time. So I would suggest you write something, maybe give it a couple of weeks or even like a month and revisit it and see where you're at. You might still think it's good. In other places you might think you need to improve a little bit, so definitely don't go with your first idea. And it's completely fine if you do, but I would suggest that if you want to go with your first idea, definitely revisit it after a couple of days, weeks, whatever it is, because you might find that you're not actually as committed to it as you might have been in the moment. So my first idea versus what I ended up with for most of my essays were very different. I would also suggest that you read example essays, but definitely don't think too much about them or structure your entire essays around what you see, because everyone's writing style is different, everyone's experiences are different. What works for one person isn't necessarily going to work for you. I would highly suggest you check out a website called This I Believe. Those are personal essays, not written for the objective of college admissions, but rather like just for people to share their experiences. And a lot of them are really emotional. They're really great essays, and it's just a great example of what a personal essay can look like and what you can talk about. But probably if you take anything away from this episode, I would hope it's to visit this website. So there is a subreddit called Applying to College, and I actually started looking at this and I found it my freshman year of high school, and honestly it provided a lot of help, sometimes a little more than the people and the teachers I talked to. And pretty much all my college admissions knowledge has come from this subreddit. And for example, the website and the person I talked about earlier, College Essay Guy, on it. I learned about This I Believe from this. A lot of the really valuable advice I learned from college admissions officers, people and adults in general who are on here, and even students who just share their personal experience. Of course, it's online, like just take everything with a grain of salt, but there's a lot of really great resources for free on here. So if you have the opportunity, I would definitely check out this website. I felt that it was like, without this, like honestly, I don't know where I would be in the college admissions process, because even though I started looking at my freshman year, like bookmarking stuff and like looking through it, and honestly, you don't have to do that because all of the information is literally like all there for you. Like I think they have like an index of some sort, so you can literally just go to like whatever section, whether it's like letters of recommendation, or essays or PIQ specifically that you want to learn about, and just see all the information there possibly is about that topic. But please, if anything, like just visit this website. Even if you don't use Reddit or whatever, I would highly suggest that you just check this out. Again, there are like really great resources on here. Some of my favorite people for advice are admissions mom on here. I remember there was like a free book that she had that you could access online, and there's just so much free information about colleges. So some of the information I believe I found from here were like timelines specifically for like what you can be doing every year from your junior to your senior year, to keep yourself on track. Lots of advice about how to write your extracurriculars list, formally ask for a letter of recommendation. But alongside that, I would definitely also in your junior year make a spreadsheet for yourself really early on and be able to put your college stats, any work or community service hours and dates, all the months that you participated in your extracurriculars, even like a short write-up about them. So these are all things that are asked in your Common App and your UC app, and you just want to be prepared with all this information and make organizing it a lot easier when it comes to writing that the summer of your senior year. I knew that this was coming up, so I started making my spreadsheet probably sometime in my sophomore or junior year, and it paid off, guys. Like it was so helpful when it came to my senior year because I already had all my activities, all my hours, all the dates I participated in it down, and it just made writing that a lot smoother for me. So if you do have the time, whether you are an incoming senior, maybe you're listening to this when you're already a senior, it's never too late. I would just make a spreadsheet to help yourself. If you guys would like my spreadsheet, I can definitely send it to you guys. Of course, like an empty version of it, but that's really what helped me stay organized throughout this entire process. So if possible, definitely make a spreadsheet. Moving on, I think I want to talk a little bit more about college lists. So I don't want to talk about school specifically, but to give you just a breakdown of it, I applied to 12 schools, 1 safety, 4 targets, and 7 reaches. And for me, I think that I only applied to 1 safety because I was already a dual enrollment student. I was already taking community college classes. So I was like, worst case scenario, like I can just continue at the community college. So for that reason, I just chose 1 safety anyways, because technically like I was already going to a safety that could have continued at. But college admissions are random. So if possible, if you have the bandwidth, it's definitely important to apply to a wide range of schools that are best fit for you. When it comes to that spreadsheet I was just talking about, I also organized all the stats and information about schools that I was interested in. And I did this my junior year, so by senior year I could start making that list a little smaller to be just the schools I was really sure I wanted to apply to. And this information ranged from whether the school was on a semester or quarter system. For me specifically, it was about whether they had a good Muslim population and an MSA. I definitely put down 3 or 4 clubs and activities I would be interested in if I were to attend the school. And that was really important. I actually didn't do it thinking of this, but putting down those clubs and activities was really helpful for me when it came time to write the YS essay, which, if you're not familiar with, it's basically where schools ask you, like, why are we a good fit, as in, like, you and the school, why are you guys a good fit, and talking about, like, the specific things you're interested in that school that other schools might not be able to offer was really important. Another thing that I checked was IGETSE transferability, so just to see how many of my community college classes would transfer over to the school. And probably, I think, one of my favorite things to do in the end, especially when it came time to making a decision about where I want to commit, was a pros and cons list. So for every school I applied to, after doing all my research about it, I definitely made a pros and cons list. For a lot of the schools, I think a big con was just how expensive it was. Maybe it was like the distance. And then pros ranged anywhere from like the specific programs or majors they had to what the actual like school environment and vibes were. When you're making this list, actually one thing I remember seeing on Reddit that was really helpful for me was kind of seeing like what every school's mission statement was, and all schools have one, and seeing how you and whatever you have to bring to the table matches in with that mission statement, and sometimes formulating your essays around that connection. That's what I did for some of the schools, especially if they had a Why Us essay, and I found that that was really helpful to feel like it was more connected to the school specifically. And last, when you're making your college list, I would definitely recommend, if you can, tour the schools. It's definitely not hard to find a virtual tour either if you can't go in person. I think I probably visited maybe 3, maybe 4 schools like before I started the college admissions process, but I did look at a lot of virtual tours and videos about the other schools before I was set. And then moving on, I also did want to talk about essays specifically. I know I've been sprinkling it a little bit throughout, but for the Why Us essay specifically, definitely do your research. I think it's so important to make sure that what your essay is about is not something that any school can have to offer. So if it's about like the sunny environment or the weather, those are things that you can find at pretty much any school. Even if it's like, oh, like I want to be near the coast, by the ocean, like those are things that a lot of schools have to offer. But I feel like if those are really important to you, there's a way that you can tie that into other things that are very specific to that school. So whether it's specific classes that you're interested in, programs that this specific school has that no other schools you're applying to has, or maybe like things about the environment that you know you would specifically be able to take the most advantage of, all things that would be really great to include in your YS essay. And I know that in general, just writing essays is already intimidating, but then worrying about perfection, the stress of a deadline coming up, I know it's a lot to take in, but I think it's so important to remind yourself that you don't have to worry about it being perfect, you just have to write. This is advice that I constantly have to remind myself about. So I write creatively, I write a lot of fiction and stories, and it can be a lot of stress to like sit down and want to write because you know that whatever you're writing is not going to be perfect. But then you have to remind yourself that if you don't sit down and write, it's just not gonna happen. You have to get out all the bad ideas, in this case, like all the bad essays, before you can find you hit something that's solid. And so I found that whatever I was writing, I had to revise it at least 5 to 10 times for it to be happy, for me to be happy with it, to want to continue writing it. And that's okay. That's just part of the process. I found that once I had what I felt like was a pretty solid draft, I then moved on to reading things out loud. So this was really helpful to me because I was able to see if it sounded like it was in my own voice, if it sounded like it was authentically me, and B, to see where it's on a little clunky, or like where I need to add a word, remove a word, or where the phrasing was awkward, or maybe it came off as negative if that wasn't what I was meaning to say. And honestly, like the way I did this is I just put my essay in Google Translate and then had it read it back to me. I think this was really helpful because sometimes I would just listen to it out loud. Other times I would follow along so I can make the corrections as I went. But I would only suggest doing this when you feel like you have a really solid draft. Definitely don't do this when you're just beginning your writing. And then again, like, use the most dangerous writing app. I found it was really helpful for me because I put like a 10-minute session on there. I wrote like an 800-word personal statement and I ended up shaving it down to like 200 words and I ended up scrapping that and then I started again. And my personal statement that I ended up writing was completely different from what I started. And honestly, like, it's been a couple months since I've read it now, but I remember like after I submitted it, I was still happy with it. So just, you know, like, I would just recommend that you write something that's authentically you, that it's a little cringy, honestly, to like look back a couple months later and like read it again, but just try to write something that's as true to yourself as possible. Sorry, like I said, I'm outside, so that's what the noise was. But I also did want to talk about what I wrote my essays about, because I feel like this could be helpful to see if maybe you have something that is similar to you. I don't want to give specifics because honestly, like, these essays could be tailored to you in any way. So just to give you an idea of like what I wrote about, for my PIQ, so that again, that's for the UCs, I had one essay that kind of talked about a leadership experience that helped change my school for the better. I also talked about a really special hobby for me, and I kind of went in depth to like how from childhood up until now that hobby has evolved for me and the value it's given me has evolved as well. I talked about a community service opportunity I did and a challenge I faced with that, and how I was able to move forward with a solution. And then the last essay that I wrote was actually one of my favorites, and I just talked about my job, which includes patient interaction, and how that kind of had to go with like empathy and my love for science. And I actually still love all of my PIQs, and I feel like they're very unique to me. And sometimes, you know, I just reread them for fun because I enjoy reading them, and I think it was really fun to see like how they sounded like after a month or 2 months after submitting, especially while I was waiting for decisions. But my essays actually did change a lot, so much actually, like in the 2 to 3 weeks before submitting them. And I think that's okay. Like, your essays, as long as you have a solid draft, there's gonna be a couple of edits you want to make to them. I personally found that I was rewriting my introduction paragraph and conclusion a lot because I want something that would be able to draw the reader in, but I also want to connect it back to the end somehow. So I had a little bit of difficulty with that. So that's something that I spent personally like a lot of time doing. So I also had to go back and read my personal statement because I literally forgot what I wrote about. But essentially, my personal statement was a metaphor about cooking. And I basically talked about how when it came to desi cooking specifically, I felt very intimidated by like all of the spices and just like all these different steps that you had to follow. But I kind of talked about my own transformation and how that transformation mirrored my journey with cooking. So it was a fun essay to write. It was a fun essay to read back then and even now. And I'm very proud of it, but it did take a lot of tries. I tried all sorts of metaphors. I tried phrasing and rephrasing things. I spent a lot of time using the most dangerous writing app, a lot of times like on the way to school on the bus every morning, writing and rewriting and revising the essay. So it definitely did not come out perfect the first time, not even the first 10 times, but that's just a process that you have to go through. And in terms of getting advice, so having people look over your essays, I think I had probably around 5 people look over my essays in total. So I had 2 graduate students, 2 undergraduate students, and 1 teacher look over all of my essays. And I felt like this was a good mix for me specifically, because the students who had already graduated, even though like it had been like a year, maybe 2 years since they had been in college, they had really valuable advice in terms of like writing a personal essay in general. And then my friends and my sister also, who where undergraduates also looked over my essay, and that was really helpful because they had just been through the process in the past like 1 to 3 years, so they had really recent knowledge about it and about how phrasing looked. And I had one teacher also look over my essay. And her advice, I actually had her look over my essays really early on into the process. And her advice was really helpful because she was actually one of the people who helped me realize that it would be nice to start one of my PIQs specifically instead of like kind of going into an explanation to like set the scene a little bit, use a little bit of imagery. And I ended up using that for my final essays. And without her, I definitely would not have done that. So that was a very valuable piece of advice. So I would definitely choose wisely who you want to look over your essays. I found that my peers my age, I feel like we're not necessarily going to be as helpful to me. I knew a couple of people who had already gone through the process, so I just personally chose to have them look over my essays instead. So my chicken big mama is getting dangerously close to my legs, so let me go ahead and shoo her away. I'll be back in just a second. Okay, so the next thing I wanted to talk about was letters of recommendation. So who is the best possible person to ask? I think it's someone who has known you for over a year and knows you personally and can vouch for you. So I think someone who has known you for over a year is probably a bare minimum requirement. I know sometimes it's very difficult depending on how your school is set or just like the people you can ask. Sometimes that's not possible and that's completely okay. I asked teachers at that point I'd probably known for 2 to 3 years, and I found that that was really helpful. I will say though that I actually had a really great professor that I wanted to get a letter of recommendation from, but unfortunately I wasn't able to. Despite asking pretty early on in the process, I think I probably asked it in October, but they already had their hands full with other letters of recommendation that they needed to write. So I thought October was early, but that is actually like not the case, especially if you're asking for teachers who are really busy. So if possible, even ask like at the end of your junior year, maybe throughout the summer, as early as August. And you don't need to necessarily ask the person to write the essay in July or in August, but it's a really great idea to start as early as you can so that they at least have an idea that you want a letter of recommendation from them, so they can kind of put that on the back burner. But that is so much better than asking a little later in the process, like hopefully not in November, when they might already have a bunch of other letters of recommendation to write. So even if it feels a little weird or awkward, just ask the teacher as early as possible, and just let them know, like, I'm not expecting you to write it right now, but I just want to let you know that I would really love to have a letter of recommendation from you. And when it comes to interviews, I had one interview and it was an in-person Stanford one. So I'm in the area. So I live in the Bay Area. So it was not crazy far for me. And I would say, like, when it comes to interviews in general, definitely don't have your answers memorized, but be prepared for questions ranging from anything from tell me about yourself, or this was one that I got asked, which was if you could bring like one thing or a custom or a tradition from your culture to the United States, what would it be? And I just talk about like the night markets in Desi culture, like in Pakistan or India. So there will be some wild card questions. You might get really random questions, and honestly, like, there's no way you can be prepared for them. But for things that are more simple, where it's like tell me about yourself, you can definitely have a couple of things that you want to cover. I found that to have kind of like a story that unfolds through your answers was really helpful to me to make sure I don't just like babble along and I know what I'm saying. It can even help to practice with a sibling or a parent. I think that the way that it comes out most naturally is not to have like a script for you to follow essentially, but maybe put like a bullet point or a couple of bullet points down for like basic questions about like why this school, or tell me about yourself. This way you can be more prepared, and it helps to, instead of just talk and give like a straight answer, of course don't make it flowery, don't exaggerate, but to have a story or examples that can put like an image of whatever you're talking about in your interviewer's mind. But overall, interviews can be just a hit or miss, and I think it matters about how you build your story and just being able to share really solid examples of your life to show how you specifically are a great fit for whatever the school is looking for. But at the same time, an interview is just an interview. It does, I believe, I don't actually know how much it matters for specific schools. That's something that you would probably have to research yourself. But just remember, like, if it does end up going horribly, hopefully it doesn't, but if you do feel like that, like you feel horrible, like it didn't go so great after the interview, just remind yourself that the interviews are just one portion of the application. There's a lot of other things that the colleges are looking at, so don't be too hard on yourself if things don't go the way that you wanted. Speaking of which, I can't believe I didn't even talk about this, but that reminded me, for every school you're applying to, please look at the common data set. You can literally search up any school. Like, for example, you can do Stanford common data set, and what it will give you is so helpful. It will give you like the mean ACT and SAT scores. It'll talk about the amount of students that applied, I believe, and how many were admitted, how many ended up going. It'll also rank different factors of your application for its importance, like how important is it to have a job or have a great interview, or have really solid community service. So for whichever schools that you're applying to, I would definitely recommend you check this out. It's a really great resource. Of course, I would also look at the school's website to see what information they have on there, but that can definitely be really helpful as well. Another thing I'm just remembering all these things are just coming to me. Run NPCs for every single school you're applying to. So NPC stands for net price calculator, and every school that you apply to should have this resource on their school's website, where essentially you can see about how much you would be paying based on like your assets, your parents' income, all of those factors, to give you just a vague idea of how much it would cost to actually attend this school before you might hear back from FAFSA if you're applying for FAFSA. Okay, but moving on to actually, I think what might have been one of my most favorite parts of the entire application process, video profiles. So I submitted a video profile for Brown University, and I think some other schools have this as well. So as a PSA, I drafted, wrote the script, rehearsed, filmed, and edited all of this in one day, which was so incredibly stressful. So please don't procrastinate, but if you're like me and sometimes your genius hits at the last moment, it can definitely be done, but try to have like a vague idea of what you're doing beforehand. I knew I wanted to apply to Brown pretty early on in the cycle, probably junior year, I think even sophomore year. So if you're thinking of a school that might have a video profile, I would definitely recommend that you try to take videos of your life or you participating in hobbies if you're not generally that kind of person. I think I'm a picture person. I don't generally take like videos of stuff. So worst case scenario, if you're running out of time, use live pictures. That saved me because I did take a lot of videos, especially like when I cook, I take videos of my food. But for just in general, I didn't take a lot of videos of things that like showcase my personality or like me at events and stuff. So I used a lot of live pictures, and it looks like a video, like it's close enough. So from my video specifically, I actually watched it just to give you guys advice on it, and I can still say I'm very proud of it. I'm very proud of the work I did in less than 24 hours. And honestly, like, I think I pushed myself to the limits with this video. I'm so proud of how it turned out. And this is actually how I discovered Canva video editing. So I've been using Canva for graphic design literally probably since 6th or 7th grade, but I didn't know that they had video editing, or maybe they added that recently up until I submitted my video. But it's free. I think it's a lot better than iMovie, and you can just play around with the elements and the aesthetic a lot more. But essentially what I did is, I think I started off my video talking about myself, and the weather was gloomy, and I think that kind of reflected in the video. Like, you could see it was a gloomy day, so I used that as an opportunity to talk about my love for reading and some books I read. And I kind of had this ongoing metaphor about being able to find art in the world around me, and I used that to connect to my love of science, to creative writing, to a speech I was writing for my public speaking class. And what I did is I essentially took I think it was 2 minutes. So like I took a 2 minute video of myself, but then I overlaid it with footage of me doing these activities I was talking about, or like a little card that showed all the books I read in a year, just to keep it very fun, to keep it going. And a special touch I did is I play the ukulele. So I did a little bit of ukulele music of me in the background, and I just added that at the end as like a little note that hey, I also played the ukulele in the video. So that was a fun touch, I think. But just make the video really fun, make it personal. I personally watched so many different example videos of admitted students that were not admitted, and some of them are like a full movie production. Others are people just talking to the camera. So there is such a huge range of what you can do. So I found this was really fun. I got to be very creative with it. I had so much fun making the video, even though I was stressed the entire time. But don't worry too much about it being perfect, about you messing up your words. I think I probably took 3 to 4 takes before I was really satisfied with the video I had created. But definitely take your time with this. This is, if I could do this in 24 hours, you guys can definitely do it in a month or 2 months. But this part of the application process I remember was really fun for me. So if you do have a video profile that one of your schools requires, definitely just kind of experiment with it. Whatever your first idea is does not have to be what it ends up being. As you can see, like I had one idea and I just stuck with it, and I think between like the couple of takes that I did I like switched things around, or I edited my bullet points a little to make it flow a little better. But honestly, like, this is just you showing who you are, so don't take it too seriously and definitely have fun with it. And then I think this part is probably one of the most important parts of this episode, and it's more about just managing your mental health. So I think this entire process from the end of my junior year all the way up until early January of my senior year was an extremely stressful time for me. And I think for people who said junior year was the hardest, they lied. I don't think so. I personally don't agree with that. I think junior year was definitely academically challenging, but senior year was literally, it was its own beast. I think the added fact of having to work on college admissions alongside succeeding and keeping up with your classes and having a job or doing community service, all these other things you might be doing outside of school, was just crazy stressful. But my advice is to be able to take a lighter first semester your senior year if possible, so that you can focus more on college apps. And that's not to say that you should just take all easy classes, but what I did is I just rearranged my schedule so that I would still be taking the same classes I had been planning on taking senior year, but take a little bit of the easier classes or classes that were online or asynchronous my first semester, and then take a little bit of the heavier classes my second semester, so that it would kind of even out the workload. And it worked really well for me. Of course, not everyone has the option to choose their classes or do it this way, but if you do and if it's possible, I would highly recommend that. I think another really big thing is don't worry about how fast or slow or whatever pace other people are submitting things at. Work at your own pace. I think that that's so important, because people will be like, oh, I submitted my college application, and you might feel pressure to submit it, but don't submit it if you're not ready. It doesn't matter if you're like a week before the deadline or even a couple days before the deadline. If you need to keep working on it, work on it. Of course, that doesn't mean that you should wait until the deadline, because the website, the portal will most likely crash, and you really don't want to have to be dealing with that. But to be fair, some colleges do have an extension of the deadline, but please, like, don't depend on that, because that's very unpredictable. You don't know if it's actually going to happen or not. If possible, try to submit a week before, or if you're feeling that you're getting really close to deadline, at least like 2 to 3 days before the deadline. But work at your own pace. It's okay if other people are submitting things before you. It's okay if you're not as far in the process as they might be, because this is your process. Just work at your own pace. And that can be hard at sometimes, because you see people submitting and you're like, why am I not done yet? But just take as many drafts as it takes, revise until you feel really confident in your work, and then you submit. I think another thing was feeling very guilty about working too slow, kind of related to that. And I think the best thing I could do is that if I was not in the mindset of working on my essays and actively writing, I tried to chip away at other things that were related to the college app process. So I think it's important to remember that college apps does not involve just writing essays. It involves writing your extracurriculars list. It involves putting in all your basic information, making your accounts. I think using the summer before your senior year to make your accounts is probably the best thing you can do to brainstorm your essays. And then when you start your senior year, if you don't feel like writing essays, try to keep chipping away, because your future self is going to love you for doing this. Chip away at that extracurriculars list, refine your descriptions, add to that spreadsheet that's talking about the different aspects of every college. So there's a lot of things that you can be working on, like including your personal information on the application, applying for FAFSA. So all of these things are part of the college application process. So if you don't feel like working on your essays, don't use that as an excuse not to work on other parts of your application. That was something I struggled with, but I did like more mindless tasks if I felt like I just wasn't in the mindset to write my essay at that point. And another thing is to make sure that you're proud of your work and remember that all the work that you put in now will be worth the wait. It's a completely other thing. I actually dealing with that. Like the waiting period was so stressful for me, especially when it was like the day before or like a couple days before I knew a decision was coming out. Sometimes there would be like 2 to 3 decisions coming out in one day. I think my biggest was like 4 decisions in a day. That was absolutely wild. But being proud of all the work that you did and remembering that even if you don't get the outcome you wanted, you're still gonna end up where you're supposed to be. I've heard so many stories about people who were at first not satisfied with the outcome of their college decisions, and a year later or 2 years later, like I speak to them now and they're really happy that they made this decision, and they can't really see themselves at another or thriving in the same way at another college. So regardless of where you end up, you're gonna do fine, you're gonna do great. And I wish you all the best for wherever you end up, and also just have a very smooth college application process. So that is all the wisdom I have to share with you guys for today. But whether you're a senior who just went through this process, a junior who's about to, or an underclassman looking for some advice, I really hope that you enjoyed today's episode, maybe learned something. And I'll try to link a couple of the resources I talked about in the description so you guys can check it out yourself. But that's it for now, and I'll see you guys in the next episode.